Well, dear brothers, I treasure these once in a month time like this with you. It's one of the few remaining links I have with Northern California. Since I have reduced my visits and because of the pandemic. I hope for the time soon that we can see each other in person and not just faces on Zoom. Tonight, we're going to just have an hour together. And on the one hand, we do look to the Lord for a fresh word, a timely word, as we always do. New speaking and instant speaking in our spirit all the time. But I find myself, brothers, having in a way nothing new to say. You know, these days I'm just occupied with the same burden. It's almost everywhere I turn, I'm kind of saying the same thing. And so you forgive me if these are things that I have said before, but may the Spirit anoint the old words to make them new. But on the other hand, brothers, it is not just new speaking that we need in the sense that, you know, something different, something, you know, exciting. No, oftentimes the speaking that we need, even from the Lord, is the same speaking because, in a way, he hasn't gotten through, because that word has not penetrated or it has not lodged in our being, or that word has not yet been through our exercise experienced or lived out or worked out in our lives, in our church life. So actually, Brother Lee, Witness Lee, must be the grandmaster of repetition. He just loves to repeat. I shouldn't say he loves to repeat. He just have a habit to repeat because he realized how much it takes repetition to drive home a point, to really get through with a point. You know, we get impressed, we get inspired, but that does not really translate into the fact that we have really gotten the burden or gotten the word. So he repeats, and I appreciate that. What am I going to talk about tonight? I like to just say that in my present consideration, three words, if you will, loom large, and they're all absolutely related. In fact, they're integral to one another. And two, they are all related to not just some kind of practice. It is practice, but not so just a kind of practice. But it is related to life. If it's a practice, it's a practice in life and by life. And I, in my present study and you know, contact with the saints, the churches, feel that these are the three, may I say, mountain that we need to scale and climb upwards. They are also absolutely the intrinsic church life, the intrinsic church life, touching both our living and touching also our serving, our service. This also applies to every age group. Applies absolutely to the leading brothers, elders, and all who love the Lord and want to be of use to the Lord in building up his body. So what are those three words? Number one, fruit bearing. See, nothing new here, right? Number two, shepherding. And number three, perfecting. So just by hearing those words, you can see that they are intertwined. You hardly know when one begins and the other ends. They are, but they're not linear, you know, strictly speaking, just linear, fruit bearing first and shepherding and perfecting. No, there are many ways to look at it. One way to look at it is that shepherding is really the master or umbrella matter in which is fruit bearing and perfecting. Another way to look at it is these three are three prongs that goes on concurrently in our church life and in our living, in our Christian living. And however, they all, because there are these three things in the Word, they must have their own particular distinct importance and emphasis for sure. So the simple verses for fruit bearing is John 15, chapter 15, but I'll just, you know, pull out this one verse, verse 16. And that is, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you may go, that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father, in my name, he may give you. Of course, we all know this, familiar with this verse and this chapter. In recent times, I'm just week after week speaking on bearing fruit, fruit bearing, with all the believers, saints in the 10 GTCA churches, and in other with other saints as well. About this matter of fruit bearing as something. When I say fruit bearing, brothers, you can use the word, put the word universal before it, before all these words. So I'm not talking about a few saints. I'm not talking about the some spiritual ones. I'm talking about the leading ones. I'm talking about a universal fruit bearing. That means every saint, every believer, bearing fruit universally. Just like our priesthood is universal, our fruit bearing should be universal. I'm not talking about raising up evangelists, although we do need more evangelists in a very good sense. We really do. Brothers who not only themselves are gospel preachers, heralds of the gospel, but they are able to stir up and indeed perfect other saints to do the same. shepherding, no doubt, even Brother Lee used the term universal shepherding. That means everyone a shepherd. Everyone shepherds. Now this is, of course, all these are huge, huge subjects. The almost the entire last volume of the Vital Group training is on shepherding. The book called the Vital Groups, it's, you can change that to shepherding. And that, of course, is in John 21:16. We all know that is both fruit bearing and shepherding are found in this gospel of life, as opposed to the synoptic gospels, the three first three gospels. This gospel, being the gospel of life, emphasizes not gospel preaching per se, but bearing fruit. And it also emphasizes at the end, in the Lord's conversation with Peter, asking him to affirm his love towards him. And when he did, each time he said more or less the same thing to him. So I just, verse 16 is, do you love me, right? And Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. So simple. We would usually portray or consider Peter as the fisherman, you know, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And he being given the keys of the kingdom that he used on the day of Pentecost to open the gateway for, the Jewish people to come into God's kingdom. And then later on, the Gentile part in the house of Cornelius. So when we think Peter, he is this kind of super whatever, door opener to the kingdom, with massive numbers being saved and converted and so on. And yes, you know, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. So that's true. But actually, in the intimate conversation the Lord had with Peter, is not about that. It's not about that. It's about shepherding three times. So Peter's, you may say, eventual calling or commission is actually to shepherd the church, which he made very clear in his epistles, charging the elders to shepherd the flock of God. Then the third thing is a word is perfecting. That word is mainly found in Paul's writing. And of course, the most well-known one is chapter 4, verse 12. Chapter 4, a chapter on really the building up of the church. In verse 12, for the perfecting, you know, these gifts, gifts in the form of persons, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. So here you have the word perfecting of the saints by Paul. And Paul loved this word. And he used this word also in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 or 11, Corinthians, my heart for you is for your perfecting. Now, fruit bearing, we know that's quite simple. That is to bear fruit, you know, for a vine or for some fruit tree to bear fruit. And today we're all branches grafted, right, into the true vine, which is the Son. This universal organism of the triune God, we've been grafted into him to do what? To do what? Not just grafted in and just exist. No, the grafting in eventually has a purpose. The purpose is that the branch would bear fruit singularly. Only, that's the only thing that is expected of for a branch is to bear fruit. Not just to bloom, not just to flower or bring forth flowers, but eventually to bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit. I don't have the time, but Brothers, as I speak these things, I hope in your mind you are thinking about your church, okay? I'm talking about how to serve, how to build up the church, the local church. We must recover, brothers and sisters, brothers, the universal bearing of fruit, fruit bearing. I say this is a mountain because it is. It'd be easy for us to stir up something and get us all hot and burning and, you know, run out there and do this or that. And we've done a lot of that. And we also know, as much as we will still, you know, we put out tables, we do this and that in various activities. I'm not against that. But I'm saying that what waits to be recovered is all the saints to be normal, normal, vital, or living branches. Just bearing fruit, not miraculously, not 100 people, not 50 people, not even, you know, 10 people, but just one, two fruits in a regular basis, in a regular way. I'll tell you, that's much harder than having a campaign in a stadium, you know, where there's a great speaker and we get the people there. How many of those fruit remain? You see, brothers, this is a great challenge to me. And I would say today to the Lord's recovery. You know, Brother Lee's talk about God ordained way and this and that. Unfortunately, it has, at least in some quarters, too much taken as a method, as a technique, as a, you know, way. Well, there are ways, and otherwise Brother Lee won't call it a way, God-ordained way. But the human tendency is looking for a way, you know, like a secret or something like that. But I'll tell you today, the need is each one of us brothers first. We need to take the lead, and then to help the church, the saints, to become fruit-bearing branches. Nothing extraordinary, nothing, you know, seemingly powerful, nothing seemingly just, you know, so outstanding. The fruit tree bears fruit in a very ordinary way. They just bear fruit. But all the requirements have to be met for a branch to bear fruit. You know, look at the four parties in this picture. Number one, the husbandman, that's the father. Number two, it's the vine tree, the son, right? Number three, the what? Branch, that means the believers, right? And finally, the fruit. The fruit, you may say, are the sinners, right? That we bear or save. So eventually, all these four are one. In life, in nature, they are just one, right? It's almost like a cycle. And I'll just say this much, brothers. You and I are chosen. We didn't choose the Lord. We were chosen and we are set, grafted, set in this tree to go forth and bear fruit. People say John doesn't have the word go. Here it is. It's not in the last chapter. It's in chapter 15. Go forth. Go forth to bear fruit, not the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, but the fruit in the form of persons, persons, people, sinners, saints, I say, seekers, people, to bear them as fruit for Christ's multiplied expression. Otherwise, how would Christ grow and increase and enlarge himself without the fruit bearing? I would say today, brothers and sisters, brothers in all our churches, let's take the time to really help the saints to all see this and all live a life. A branch doesn't do any work, it just live a life under supply, under, you know, a good condition and being pruned and many other things. And then eventually it's for one purpose, that is to bear fruit. So it's better for our churches to have normal, regular increase rather than sudden, you know, by some kind of a campaign or movement. I have much more to say, but I'll just leave it there. The second is on shepherding, and I don't need to spend that much time, brothers. It's just all shepherding people. And that's what the Lord's commission to the first apostle, one of the first apostles, Peter. And that is, you love me, you shepherd. Shepherd my sheep. Shepherd my flock, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, old and young. And, if all the saints will rise up to be a shepherd, just a shepherd of some, young ones, new ones, weak ones, the saints, shepherd them, you know, shepherding includes the gospel, you know that, right? The first parable in John 15, in Luke 15 is what? Is the Lord asked that, the Savior asked the shepherd to look for the lost sheep. So don't they say that shepherding includes finding the lost sheep. In fact, that's where it starts. So shepherding is the universal thing. And the Lord's, the Son of Man's ministry in the heavens in these 2,000 years is primarily that of shepherding as far as his church is concerned. Just the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And so, my brothers, we just in the church life need to build up this kind of shepherding life. A shepherding church life. Everyone shepherds. Everyone cares for some ones. A great subject, you know, shepherding includes what? Includes finding, right? The shepherding, the looking. Even the looking is shepherding. Dear brothers, in the church, you have to do a lot of looking. You just sit there. And I keep saying this just to sign checks and just to do that. No, we should be in the church life always looking. Looking for the lost, looking for the wayward, looking for the wounded, looking for the needy. That's what we should be doing. Shepherd the flock of God. Does the Holy Spirit have appointed you to be overseers of the flock? Look, and then shepherd includes what? Obviously includes this kind of a care. You know, this kind of intimate care, especially of the young and of the weak and of the wounded, right? The care that you render to a sheep, a lamb, And shepherding includes what? Feeding, guiding them to green pastures, where to eat. You know, these days we're burdened for reading Colossians, am I right? Or reading the life studies. Don't turn that into a kind of a thing. You know, we're going to ram this program through. We're going to, how about change the mind? How do we lead the sheep in my church to this particular pasture? How about think that way? That's the life way of thinking about helping the saints to read the life studies. You see, for some of us, our thinking is always along the line of method, program, way, you know, what's efficient, you know, and that kind of thinking. There's a place for that. There's a place for that. But brothers, I hope we can train ourselves. All these things, these activities, fruit-bearing, shepherding, perfecting, they are not just things, programs, practices, methods. It's about a heart. It's about a concern. It's about people. That's what it's about. So even when you help someone to start reading the life studies, that's shepherding. Shepherding them to that pasture. Shepherding includes what? Besides feeding, of course, to lead them to the still water to drink, right? The Spirit. To help them to drink. To give them the living water. Shepherding includes absolutely in protecting. Very, very much in protecting the young, protecting them, guarding them against the beasts. Am I right? Against danger, against the prowling lion, against the enemy, the protecting, guarding of the of someone else. And then what else? There is the matter of what healing. There's a lot of healing in shepherding because there are a lot of wounded souls. There are a lot of hurt people, all right, among the saints, among us, spiritually, psychologically, and sometimes even physically. So shepherding is to help to heal, to you know, the Good Samaritan, you know, that parable, that's a picture of shepherding. Right there, that's a picture, putting on the wine, the oil, putting him on a donkey, taking him to the inn. That is the picture of the Lord shepherding a sinner to what? All the way to the church. So, brothers, this is what we need today in the churches. If we can just build up this shepherding atmosphere, all the saints are bearing someone. All the saints are intimately concerned for some. That is universal shepherding. I move on. Number three is perfecting. Now, Brother Lee didn't quite have a book. Well, actually, he had some books on perfecting, but he didn't emphasize maybe perfecting as much as fruit-bearing and shepherding. But I would like to tell you this perfecting one, the perfecting is also short among us in the church life, short among us, deficient among us. Perfecting, the word means negatively, to mend, M-E-N-D, something broken, mend, to adjust something, to make it work again, right? to restore, to recover something. That is the meaning of perfecting. So it's sort of, you can say, the mending ministry, you know, of John. It's the mending of something that is broken. But positively, perfecting has the meaning of what? Equipping, furnishing, educating, training, to make a person what? Useful. So here we're talking about what? The function of the saints. So to or the function of a believer. So to perfect someone, number one means something has gone wrong, something is broken, something is torn, something is divided. We go to what? To restore that, restore the person, restore the situation, restore the relationship. That's perfecting. But on the other hand, it is to what? It is to equip, furnish, train this one or that one to what? To function according to what the Lord has given to him or to her, the gift, the measure that the Lord has measured out to this member of the body, to help this one to use that gift to what? To build up the body of Christ. And so you have Ephesians 4, right? Perfecting the saints to do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry. And that is simply to minister Christ in various functions, in various, as they exercise the gifts. You know, they're in Romans 12 there, and so on. To what? To build up the church, to build up the body. And so, brothers, I know this is like a very, very high level whatever, but I hope that we will see the church life in this way. Okay, the church life, many things, this, that, and the other. But I would like to ask you, brothers, how about the fruit bearing? How about the shepherding? And how about the perfecting in your church? Now forget about the saints for a moment. I'd like to ask you, are you bearing fruit? Are you shepherding some? And are you perfecting some? You should not say, well, you know, I need shepherding or I need perfecting. Well, me too, Brother Lee also, he said. I still need shepherding. When some brother go to his house to change a light bulb, he said, I was greatly shepherded by that. Of course. But brothers, I like to turn this around and say, no, we have to bear fruit ourselves. We have to, in fact, bear remaining fruit. We have to shepherd some sheep. Some sheep. And we have to, what, perfect some saints, some believers. Now, there's a good deal to learn in all of this, and there's a lot to talk about. We don't have the time tonight. But I would like to, at this moment, I'd like to say some old things here, okay? And that is, I think in one of the Saturday morning meetings, do you remember, brothers, with the saints, a few years back, we had one time, a couple of times, meeting over in South San Francisco, you know, in the conference center there, in that big room. I remember it, with the saints, a couple of times. And I recall I touched something like this. There was one time I touched something on prayer reading or calling or something like that. But I do remember one time I talked about something along this line. I don't remember very clearly. But at that time, it may be one of those times that I gave my own testimony, how my own life was changed with regards to all these three things back in 1975. I also at that time recommended to all of you this book. I remember that, right? And I have not ceased to keep recommending this book to all of you. The Normal Way of Fruit Bearing and Shepherding for the Building Up of the Church. Actually, Perfecting is also here. If you get into this book, Perfecting, really talk a lot about serving in this book as well. 1975, my life through this training Brother Lee gave, that's before the Ballroom Meeting Hall was finished, before that. So we were meeting in a bank building in downtown Anaheim. We were meeting in some community center, in some apartment complex, and Brother Lee gave this training. And my life was turned upside down at that time. And even today, as I'm pondering on this, I remember offhand, just like that, four passages that Brother Lee talked about in a couple of chapters in this book. That just changed me, just changed my life, my serving life. And here it is. Number one, it is Proverbs. Proverbs chapter, 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Simple verse, 25-26. The blessing soul will prosper, and he who waters will also be watered himself. This line stuck with me. He who waters will also be watered himself. 26, as for him who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessing will be upon the head of him who sells it. The whole point Brother Lee was making is we are here just to give, just to minister life, just to water other people, just to live for others. When he was talking about fruit bearing, shepherding, perfecting, that was the underlying current. It's about people. And he would, every week on whatever night the training was, he would ask us, this week, did you do this? Did you do this? He won't let us go. Did you go back to pray? Did you deal with the Lord? One of the biggest things he touched in this is our disposition of not liking people, not contacting people. He touched that very, very much. And that's what convicted me. Mind you, I was serving. I was 1,000% given. I was engaged in the church. I was front row brother all the way. I was doing this or that. But when that word came, the Lord is saying, what are you doing here? If you keep going on this way, you're done. You are done as far as I'm concerned. How about people? What are you doing? Who are you bearing? Who are you caring for? Okay, that's one. The second one is Isaiah 50. The Lord Jehovah has given me the tongue of the instructed, that I should know how to sustain the weary with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as an instructed one. Verse 5, the Lord Jehovah has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn back. I like to testify over since that time until now. This verse in Isaiah is my constant prayer, my personal prayer with the Lord. Very often, Lord, give me the tongue of a learned one, a trained one, that means, a perfected one, that I would know how to sustain the weary with a word. That means, how do I help this brother or that person or whoever is weary with a, how do I sustain them with a word from Jehovah? I pray that prayer. I still pray this prayer. And he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as an instructed one. Of course, this verse is about the Lord Jesus, okay, as the servant of Jehovah. But it absolutely, brotherly, use this verse to apply it to us in a very, very subjective way. He said, you have to, in the morning, you need your ear awakened. You need to hear as an instructed one. Because that, what you hear, what you're instructed by Jehovah, the Lord, is what you will speak to sustain a weary one. Very, very particular and very, very practical. Brothers, I can only say this to you. Whether it's fruit bearing, whether it's shepherding, whether it's perfecting, this is underneath. This is the kind of heart and spirit and burden that we need to have and the kind of person that we have to be. Now, another passage. These are all just in my head. It's just in my head that he gave at that time is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this verse, or these two verses, 14 and 15. Behold, this third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden, for I do not seek what is yours, but you. I mean, just that word. I do not seek what is yours, but you. Paul didn't want anything from these Corinthians. He just wanted them. He just wanted them. Okay? For the children ought not to store up for the parents. Paul considered himself a parent, but the parents for the children. You know, he said, I, in the gospel, have begotten you. You have 10,000 teachers, but you have only one father, and that's me. So these Corinthians are his children, spiritual children. And he said, as a parent, I'm not looking to you to store up anything for me. But I am always storing up something for you, Corinthians. You know, the Corinthians were saying some bad things about Paul at that time. You know, basically accusing him for whatever, not being honest, being fraudulent, whatever. Paul in verse 15, this is, I can never forget this verse, but I will most gladly spend and be utterly spent on behalf of your souls. If I love you more abundantly, am I love less? Do you touch that, brothers? Do you touch that kind of spirit, that kind of a heart? Spend is to spend our possessions. Be utterly spent is to give our being. So whether it's what we have or what we are, gladly poured out and spent on behalf of the souls of the saints. I mean, this kind of heart, this kind of, burden, this kind of concern for the saints, for people. 1 Thessalonians, last passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, since I first read them in these trainings, never left me again. Chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 11. But we were gentle in your midst, as a nursing mother would cherish her own children. Verse 11, just as you know how we were to each one of you. As a father to his own children, exhorting you and consoling you and testifying. There it is. You have the mother, the nursing mother, and the exhorting father, caring for their children. If we have such a heart and spirit, if we have this kind of an attitude, if we are this concerned, have this kind of level of concern for men, for people, for human beings, I would like to say that we're halfway there, whether it's fruit bearing, whether it is shepherding, whether it is perfecting. Now I know tonight I didn't get into any kind of practical details, and there are practical details in all these three things. But I like to just raise this awareness within us. This kind of ministering life, brothers, is what is needed in the church today. This kind of sacrificial life, this kind of poured out life, I hope that we brothers would, if you have not done so, would really read this book on your own, prayerfully, just slowly, prayerfully, that you will also experience you would also experience something transformative in your service. I speak especially to the younger generation, particularly. Again, some are appointed elders, some are not. That's not the main point. The point that we're all serving, and we're bearing some responsibility. This, brothers, to me is the God-ordained way. This is the God-ordained way. All right? I'm not saying we don't need small groups. I'm not saying we don't need twos and threes. You know. But this is the God-ordained way. If we do these things in a normal way, this is our normal church life, we're in the God-ordained way. You know, God-ordained way is begetting, nourishing, right? Perfecting, and building. Those are not steps or techniques. This kind of ministering life is what we need. I hope, really, all the churches in these days would slowly climb this hill. And to do this, we have to be with the Lord first. And we ourselves have to enter into this first. And then we bring others into this kind of life. And we're not talking about, you know, you have to care for 50 people or dozen people. No, no. You know, Brother Lee one time said this, if every saint would have one sinner that they are saving or bearing, yeah, and they will have one saint that they are shepherding. You know, I wrote a little something in Chinese many years ago, just a little some article. I said, one hand with a fish, one hand with a lamb, right? One hand with a fish, one hand with a lamb. We're normal people. That's a normal believer. You know, brothers, I hope this word helps. To do this, we have to build up this up as a normality, as a life. We have to contact people, pray for people regularly. We have to contact people even regularly according to some scheduled time. Because if you don't schedule some time, yeah, you won't do it. Prayer is that way. That's coming. Contacting people is that way. That's going. You have to schedule, set up the time. If the saints can, we all can set up 1 hour, 2 hours a week out of the 112 hours, waking hours in our weekly life. That's not much because we spend 2 hours easily on all kinds of things. You know, that doesn't have much eternal value. If we can redeem the time, just 1 or 2 hours, just set it aside in the week for the Lord, for people. All these things, twos and threes, vital companions, small groups, are all the environment and mutual support that we can benefit from. But eventually, we need to build up a church life like this to build up the church. I'm done.
Thank you, Brother Minoru.
No, the other word Brother Lee used a lot in that book, and again, it's so much, is spiritual children. He used that word a lot. Where is your spiritual children? We all need some spiritual children. Born in life and raised in by life and perfected, you know, through life. Brotherly St. Paul had no physical children, but he had a child in Christ, or two at least that he mentioned. One is Timothy, the other is Titus. So Brotherly said that this, he said, spiritual children is much more important than physical children. What if all the saints have one or two spiritual children that they are begetting, they are feeding, they are perfecting, they're raising up, including our own young people, the campus, college age. My goodness, I just saw a picture of the church in Minneapolis, you know, the GTCA church. During this pandemic, they are just flooded with new ones from University of Minneapolis. And you forgive me to say this, it sounds, would sound a little not very politically correct, okay? All of them are Caucasians or African Americans. I saw the picture, so it's no denying. This during the pandemic. And but I don't believe that is the, you know, just, you know, they hit the right button or something. I believe there is a concern, a love for people, and a heart for these kids. If we would have this, if we would have this, I tell you, the church is a very beautiful place, very, very lovely place. Just filled with love, filled with care for people. Amen. I interrupted you, Don.
I was just grateful for this word. It really is a word we need very much. Very touching.
I hope we're not just inspired. It's good to be, in my case, I was deeply inspired in 1975. But you know, two words was also very worked in my case. I was exposed and I was convicted, not just inspired. Because I was moved, I was inspired deeply. But not until some exposing and conviction came to me that I need a change. My disposition, in my attitude, in my ways, you know, in a complete way. I hope that will happen. Do remember these three things: fruit bearing, shepherding, and perfecting. All unto the building up of the church, the body. One more thing I would say, that this kind of work to really, you know, to bear fruit, to shepherd someone, to perfect someone, you have to be specific. You cannot be general. Just so you cannot do it on 100 people. You can give a message to thousands. Okay, you can do that. But we're not talking about that. Paul, in Acts 20, he worked on one person at a time. Then he worked house by house in homes. Then he worked on a larger group in some public places. Learn to be specific and ask the Lord for something specific. Lord, give me a fruit. Kind of like Hannah, give me a son. Give me a fruit, a remaining fruit. Lord, who should I shepherd? Who is my sheep? Who is my lamb? Be specific. Brother Lee wanted names when he trained us. He said, don't tell me three or four. He said, give me names. He won't let us go. He would not let us go. And perfecting especially. Really, the most effective perfecting, in my experience, is one-on-one. The work is fine. F-I-N-E, you know, thorough, detailed, specific, rather than superficial and general like that. This takes patience. This takes endurance. This takes a lot of persistence and not giving up. It's a labor. It is a labor, brothers. But this is the solid way. And this is the way of life. You could, you know, use some time in your church life, you know, maybe in the prayer night, you know, after half an hour of prayer, you can use another half hour for some, maybe to read one of these messages, these books, and to help one another or help the saints in this kind of thing, in this. You have to find a way. And then personally, right, help some saints to lead them, guide them into this kind of a life, which ourselves, we have to first live it, right? We have to have some experience of it. You know, in the process of doing this, you learn many things. One of the first thing is really you value people's lives. You treasure human beings. You love men. You have a real concern, intimate concern for persons. It has to start there. Nothing will work. You know that chapter called, which I always recommend, Lover of Men by Brother Nee in the book, The Character of the Lord's Worker. It's extremely touching and convicting. That chapter called Love Prevails in the book Vital Group. It just touches the depth, the really the deepest thing. And do we really love people? Do we really care for others? And not just ourselves. Then you have to reject your disposition, your kind of convenience to reach out, to contact people. You cannot be an elder if you don't like people, okay? You cannot serve the saints if you don't contact them. It's all about people. You cannot save a soul unless you really care for that soul. And so some of us need to really, rather to use the word overthrow, overcome, even overthrow that kind of disposition to be private, to be, you know, just be by yourself, to contact people. Contact people. Just contact people, brothers, saints. Just go contact people. And then the third thing is to learn to enter into their situation. It's not to preach at them. It's not to do this or that on them. The first thing is to be interested in their situation and to enter into their situation, to find out their interest, to find out their real problem, to find out what is deep inside them. The best way to help people is to enter into their situation. Don't bring them to where you are. You go to where they are. Like the Good Samaritan, he entered fully into that situation. And there are these things such as learning to listen. Learn to listen to people. Some of us are too much talking, just turning people off, right? Learn to listen, because by listening, you know where they are. And you know how to, you can help them. And obviously, in a specific way, brothers, we need to pray for people, especially the ones the Lord put in our hands and in our heart. Again, whether they are unsaved or nominal Christian seeker or seekers or saints of all kinds, young or old, you know, with a young person, if you get them talking about something that they like, oh my goodness, they would tell you everything. So we need some skill. There is skill needed, brothers. There is some skill needed in contacting people. But you don't learn that by reading a book. You learn that by doing. Again and again. And also we have to be with the Lord. We have to abide in the Lord. You have to be in fellowship with the Lord. You know, should be no barriers between us and the Lord so that we can hear a word from him that we can give to sustain others. You see, All these things is about people, right? We need to how to teach a little bit, not that kind of teaching, but a kind of home teaching, right? Something of truth, something of life, at the right time, in the right way, to give food at the right season. All these things, many things. These days, because of certain situation in this country, I have to get involved quite directly. And I'll tell you, the hardest thing is to heal a wound. One of the hardest thing is to heal a wound in a person. Not so easy. Not so simple. How to bind up, you know, a wound, right? Okay, I think this is really well beyond the time.